right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to Grease the Wheels, your automotive technician podcast, coming to you from the Rock and Roll Garage and the mind and the mouth of your Uncle Jimmy. Hey, man, I'm here to help you out as much as I can. Hey, I know you're helping other people out as much as you can. I want to say thanks. Thanks for keeping the planet moving, keeping it lit, keeping it warm or cool or whatever the fuck you do. Hey, man, seriously, no matter what you do, if you're in the mechanic type end of your profession, thank you for what you do. Thank you very much. I know it's a very thankless task, and I'm here to thank you for every fucking ingrateful cocksucker on the planet, okay? All right. Hey, I got an odd one for you today, and I had to do it on Tuesday night, as a matter of fact, and I wanted to do it late because I needed to be tired when I did it, because if I had done it any earlier, it would just be an angry, obscene diatribe, and maybe you like that. I don't know, but I don't really like that too much. It doesn't help me impart any kind of wisdom of any kind to you, because it's just angry and vitriolic, and I don't need that. I don't think anybody needs that. Nobody needs me to go, "Hey, you stupid son of a bitch," for an hour and a half or anything like that. Listen, in keeping with my theme, today's podcast is going to be called Back in the USSR. Yes, that's right. Hey, a totalitarian state of the Soviet Union, of Russia, the USSR. Yeah, there weren't a whole lot of fucking freedoms there, and you were under the thumb of the Politburo, of the party. You had to do what they wanted you to do. They were managing your life for you, and that's what this podcast is really going to be about, is management and how managers are sometimes fucking us up and doing the wrong things and doing bad things. And one of the things I want to start out saying to you is that in this particular podcast, I'm not really honestly calling any one particular person out. However, my experiences with certain management that have not been good, there's been a lot of good sort of interactions with management. Okay, there's been some good stuff, and there's been some great managers. I've worked for some really great managers, and it almost brings a smile to my face to think about how well they did what they do. But however, there are a lot of shitty managers I've had in the past, and I just kind of want to broad stroke some of the fucking things that they do wrong, and maybe take them to task for some of the things that they personally, at least for me, that they shouldn't have fucking done. So we'll move on from there. All right. So just so you know, this is not about one particular person. Although, let me just preface this particular podcast saying that I've had some fucking major turmoil in my life, which has irritated me fucking massively. And that's been at the hands of a manager. And it's going to be kind of a short-lived thing. So it's all right for now. But it is going to leave a very bad taste in my mouth. And perhaps someday karma will show up, jack up their fucking ride, and take their wheels. It's just one of those things where some dumb shit was done, and it made no fucking sense. And it was done, really, the only word I can use to describe why these things were done is malice. There's just an ego at play here that wants to fuck people over. And, that's as much as I'm going to tell you. It's not about me, right? It's not. It's not about me. It's about some of the experiences I've had. But the reason I bring them to you the way I do is because you're having some of the same experiences that I'm having. And if that's true, then I apologize. Finding a place to work where the people that you have to work for, whether it's an owner or a service manager or even a service director or even a general manager, finding a place to work where you got somebody who's going to look after you and treat you with respect, it's a crapshoot. I found that more often than not, you don't win. You don't fucking win. You hit on 17 and you end up with 22 and you fucking lose. Now, what I wanted to do, there was an awful lot of stuff on this on the internet, because I always kind of try to mine for some material that is better than what I might come up with my own mind. Usually I'm pretty successful. Now, I did find this one that kind of labels what makes a manager bad. And it's a fairly recent article. I mean, it's only about 2 months old. So it's got sort of some updated sort of information here. Okay. This says here, this particular content that I found is 25 signs of a bad manager at work in 2024. Now, I've said this a few thousand times before, but a lot of times the information and the content that I find on the internet is mostly for white-collar workers, people who are sitting in a cubicle or in an office somewhere and shuffling fucking papers and answering the phones and doing really not all that physical kind of a work like we do, okay? What we do is physical and mental. I think you could, you don't find that, you just don't find that many people who can do that effectively. And that's why there is such an enormous shortage of technicians, really. I mean, that's the whole reason for the podcast, is that there's a shortage of technicians, and that what we really need to do, and what I really, and I'll put the onus on myself, what I really need to do is to take every fucking service manager, every owner out there who owns a shop or tries to run a shop or is in charge of technicians of any kind, and grab him by the fucking collar and fucking hold him up in the air and say, listen, asshole, we're the ones doing the fucking work. Quit fucking with us. You need to make us somewhat happy. You need to at least treat us with a modicum of respect and stop being a fucking asshole. And when you hire us, will you please ask some questions to sort out some of the bad apples, please. And when somebody comes along and it seems pretty obvious that they're a bad apple and other people tell you that they're a bad apple, you can take their fucking word for it, for Christ's sakes, you know? I mean, you know, a lot of us know other technicians at other shops, and sometimes we're friends with them, and sometimes we're not fucking friends with them. And there may be reasons why we're not friends with them. Maybe they're assholes or scumbags, or they're just fucking dickheads, or they can't do the fucking job, or D, all of the above. And if we go and we tell you, oh, this guy's no good, I don't care what he looks like on paper. He might be Jesus of Nazareth. And he comes into your fucking place and all he does is try to rip off your customers and behave like a fucking asshole and be an ineffective piece of shit. And you hired him and we told you not to. Or we asked you not to. You went and hired him anyway. Not a good situation, okay? All right, so 25 signs of a bad manager. I love it that it's divisible by fives, tens, fives. I'm okay with. One of the first signs of a bad manager is, number one, micromanagement. Now, let's say, and then I want to kind of give some, and then I'm going to take it all back again here, okay? If you have the confidence and the tenacity and the stamina to go out there and start your own repair shop where you might hire one, two, or even up to 10 technicians, or possibly even more, and you were a mechanic, well, you're probably not a mechanic anymore if you own this shop, because there's so much shit you have to do and you have to look after, you have to take care of to make a shop run, that you're going to lose your fucking mind. You're not going to be working on cars anymore. It's like the proverbial chef that suddenly buys his own restaurant and now he can't cook. He's got to do all the other horse shit. And there's a lot of it that goes along with it, okay? Now, let's just say you're a technician, you open your own shop, you hire a couple of mechanics, and you're supposed to be taking care of this, that, the other thing, you know, working with vendors on supplies and parts and working with other employees on where to park the fucking cars and how to sell the fucking repairs and how to treat the customers, whatever. And then you come back and part of what you do is you tell your technicians how to fix the fucking cars. And you stand over their shoulder to make sure they do it right. That would be a prime example of micromanagement, which probably, if you're doing the job right as far as hiring and vetting new employees, you shouldn't have to do that. You shouldn't. But because a lot of other people in the business that we're in have treated technicians so terrible, have been awful to them, mean, obnoxious, not paid them well, not paid them at all in some cases, and just fucking treated them like pieces of shit. There aren't that many technicians out there. They just aren't out there. And then, you know, the thing is too, when you have bad management, it's like, what the fuck? That's like the trifecta. It's like, not only is the job hard physically, not only is the job hard mentally, I got to deal with some fucking dickhead who can't pull his head out of his ass about all of the decisions he needs to make about what happens in the fucking shop. I certainly wouldn't want that fucking guy coming back and trying to tell me how to fix a car. He might end up with a fucking crescent wrench up his ass. It's just not a good thing, okay? Micromanagement, yeah, I really would say that's a sign of a bad manager. In a repair shop, I don't think we get that much. I think there's a lot of other businesses that have people who micromanage them, their employees, much more than auto repair shops do, okay? Number two is failure to give feedback. man, I could do a whole podcast on this one. I myself personally feel like I'm starving for feedback. I don't get any at all. It's like the only time I ever get feedback is if something goes wrong. And that kind of, I gotta be honest with you, it kind of ruins me. I don't like it. I mean, it's like, what the fuck? You know, I mean, I might work on, what did I figure? I think last year I figured that I worked on something close to, I don't know if this is right, because I remember doing the calculations, something like 2,000 cars, 2,500 cars. It was like, well, how many was it? Like, you know, when we had work, right now we're fucking slow as a, we're slow as fuck right now, which is a terrible situation also. But I typically work on anywhere from 3 to 5 cars a day. Let's say 5, that's 25 a week, sometimes more. Okay, so we'll just say 30. Okay, so 30 a week times 5 is 1,500. We'll say 1,500, okay? If I fuck up 4 cars out of 1,500, which is a very small percentage, not even 1%, I'm going to hear about all 4 of them. But am I going to hear anything about the fucking 1,496 other fucking cars that I worked on that are just fine? And oh, maybe by the way, great, because I did something or I tweaked something or repaired something or, you know, whatever I did, you know? Am I going to hear anything about them? Probably fucking not. Okay. Now, honestly, I think, because this is the way I think, I'm not bullshitting you, okay? I thank you guys every fucking week when I come on here. I thank you. And I mean it. It's a sincere, I mean, I can't say it any more sincere than I do, and I mean it. But if I was a service manager or someone in management, because there's other kinds of management, assistant managers and service directors and these sorts of things, what I would do is just every once in a while, I would find a technician and I would just find a repair that they did that maybe was, you know, a little bit difficult, or maybe it's something that made the company a lot of money. And I would just go out and say, listen, you worked on this guy's car a couple weeks ago, and I wanted to tell you thank you for taking care of that car. I know that it was a lot of work, and you made some good money, and you definitely made the company some good money. But the bottom line is that guy's happy with what you did to his car. He paid us. He got a good value for what he got done. And that's all because of you. And I want to just say thanks. Thanks for what you do. And if somebody was to do that to you personally, and I know this, if somebody was to do that to you personally, just maybe once or twice a year even, that could be really, really good for you and your confidence and your state of mind and your state of mental health even. You know, instead of thinking, wow, this place doesn't give a fuck about me. They keep me in the back and throw food through the cage. You know, it's like, really, I feel like we're treated like monkeys. I really do. There's nothing that's really going on where I work that is going to make me feel any different about that. And I think that it wouldn't be that tough for somebody to do something like that. I don't think it would be at all. You know, instead of the fucking great big bucket fulls of fucking shit, which get thrown around when something goes wrong, every once in a while, a bucket full of fucking peaches and cream or fucking roses could come back and they would be like, hey, man, you straightened this car out. The guy was happy. We're happy. Thanks for taking care of that, you know. And you know, obviously, if you have a lot of technicians, you could do this more than once and you could do it to all of them at some point in time. I think you'd find that they would respond. They would respond in a very positive way. But I have not ever, and I don't think any of you have either, I have not ever worked anywhere where they have fucking done that. There's been a few times where I'll take care of something for the sales department because, you know, I work at a dealership where we're selling the cars, and a lot of times they need help with something that they're trying to deliver, and the other technicians don't want to know a fucking thing about it. And I'll jump right in feet first and help kind of straighten out the problem. It happens. And I get good feedback from them, okay, because they know that the technicians don't really want to talk to the salespeople because a lot of times salespeople are a bunch of douchebags. Not all the time, sometimes. Okay, ours are pretty good. I enjoy them a lot. Failure to give feedback is definitely something that a bad manager will do. They don't give a shit. They don't feel like it's their place to give you feedback unless, of course, it's shitty feedback. Okay. Number 3 is an inability to say no. Lots of times, and this is what they're talking about here. And this is, you got to understand this. And when I find any kind of content on the internet, it's typically about people who work in a white collar type of environment. You know, they're sitting at a toip. I said, Yeah, I meant type, God damn it. They sit at a desk, in a cubicle, maybe in an office, and they shuffle papers, and typically it's not too physically demanding, and maybe not even mentally demanding. Who fucking knows? Maybe it's like office space where they only do really honest to God 15 minutes worth of work every day. Lots of times, managers and bosses are going to try to make everybody like them. And so what they're going to do is they're not going to say no. Now, I haven't run into a manager that's had a problem with that myself personally. Maybe you have. Sometimes if you have the inability, if you're too passive aggressive to say no to somebody, even though that's what you mean and that's what you want them to figure out from what you're trying to say to them, then that can be a very bad thing. Sometimes if you have a question, sometimes if you have a request, the answer should be no. They're not going to tell you. They're not going to tell you no. They'll say, yeah. And then they're going to resent it because they don't have any kind of a backbone or a spine to stand up and say, listen, that's not really a good idea and I don't want to do that, or I'm going to need you that day. I can't give you that day off. These sorts of things happen. The inability to say no can be a problem. I think it's not that much of a problem for us as technicians. We hear the word no all the fucking time, I think, especially when we're trying to sell some work. Number four is the absence of empathy. If you're not familiar with that is, we talked about that the last 2 weeks. This is the quality of empathy is the ability to feel for other people and their situations. And if you don't have that, then you are a fucking terrible manager. I'm sorry. There's no two ways around it. You have to understand that the people who work for you are human beings who have lives. They have interests. They have family. They have dogs. They have hobbies. There's all kinds of things they have. And if you don't give a fuck about any of the shit that they give a fuck about, well, then there's a lack of empathy, and you're not really going to get along with those people. You're not going to get along with them. I'm sorry, I hate to tell you that, but you have to understand that if you are a manager, what you fix is people. I've said it a million times, and I think it's true. And for me, I always like to say, I can fix cars. I really can't fix people. I was in a management position at one time. I managed a couple, two, three auto parts stores. One of them I did well. The other two I did not. The one that I managed well was not because of me. It was because of the help I had. They were hardworking, intelligent people. And then I went to another store where there was no people, hardworking or intelligent or otherwise. And so I had to kind of almost do everything myself. Some things didn't get done right. Some things didn't get done at all. And because of that, I was sent on my way. And I was very happy to be sent on my way, by the way. My last adventure in management did not go well because of the company I was working for really had their head wedged pretty firmly up their ass and should not have been actually doing business where we were. And it ended up not working out well for them. And in their efforts to kind of blame somebody, they took some blame and also was very happy to leave that job as well. So, and then that ended my career as a manager. But I always tried to take care of the people that work for me when I had some. That's why I consider myself a success at the very first place I worked, because I did have empathy for the people I worked for and worked with. And then later on, when there was no one to have empathy for, that didn't work at all. And then later on, I had only one other employee, a friend of mine, and I definitely have a lot of empathy for him. But the people that I was working for, the people that were managing me as a manager, didn't have any empathy for us. Weren't able to figure out how we ran the business and decided they didn't like it. And so that was it. And of course, they're completely and totally out of business now, having run the business that they had, which was at one point successful, right into the ground. Okay. So if you're in management or if you're an owner and you don't have empathy for people, I think you're going to find it tough to relate to them, to deal with them, and to have them work for you. Okay. So, maybe get some. It's not that hard. Number five on this list here is gossip. Gossip I think it's the most communicable disease in the world. It's just terrible. And it goes on a lot in our place, and especially recently, because there's been very little work. We've been slower than slow. And it kind of sucks for us because there's so many of us. And we're all just kind of standing around, and management doesn't seem to know what to do about it. They don't have any answers, and they're certainly not going to help us out in any way that would involve, would not involve and not involve helping us out in any way that might involve any kind of monetary or financial support. It's not going to do that because we're flat rate. And as I've told you before, when the shop's slow, the shop still wins, the technicians lose. And that's what we're doing right now. But when we don't have anything to do, we stand around and gossip. Now, I try to kind of beg off on that a little bit because I don't need that. I don't need the drama of what goes on in our shop. And when I'm forced to deal with it, like I have been lately, I don't like it. And quite frankly, I'm due to hit the exit here pretty soon. I'm going to be moving on to a different location within the company I work for, which is a very good situation for me. I feel like it's going to be kind of a fresh start, and I'm going to have new people who seem to have a better idea how to do what they need to do than the people I am working for currently. As far as gossip goes, yeah, there's there's always going to be gossip. I mean, you know, you could be balls deep in a car with your hands halfway up its ass, and the guy next to you will listen to whatever it is you're saying, and you'll listen to whatever it is he's saying. And a lot of times, just straight up gossip. So there's no getting away from it. What do you do about it? Well, if you're a manager and you gossip about the people who work for you and they find out about it, they may leave. They may leave, especially if the gossip's about things that aren't good. Because who wants to put up with that? I mean, I certainly don't. I myself personally, like I said, I don't enjoy it. I don't like it. I don't really like to partake in it. A lot of times I find it's just straight up bullshit, sensationalized to kind of, I don't know, make it entertaining or make it juicy even. I just don't dig it. So, you know, if somebody says, oh, you know, guess who has, genital warts? I'm like, I don't give a fuck. I know it's not me. That's all I care about. Don't tell me who it is. I don't want to know. Not going to be sleeping with people from work either. So I don't care about that kind of shit. You know, if you want to gossip about it, go fucking somewhere else. And I certainly don't want management doing it. It's bad enough when the techs do it. I don't need management doing it. They may do it, and I wouldn't know about it. It doesn't matter to me really. But if they do it, and they do it a lot, and they spread terrible lies about you, then it's definitely a very bad thing. And naturally, of course, as your Uncle Jimmy here at Grease the Wheels, I would say that you should put your resume out there and go find some place where they're going to treat you like a human being and not talk about you behind your fucking back, okay? Number six is poor communication. Oh, God. There has never been a place I have ever worked that had good communication. At best, the communication you have with the people you work with is terrible. And that's the only height it can reach. I've had a lot of places where it seems like they feel like you should be able to read their mind or something. And it's like, no, I don't read Braille. Okay. I'm not going to be able to read your fucking mind. And it's probably a good thing too, because who knows what's even in their minds. I have found many, many times in the past where management has decided that they're going to change a rule, or they make a new policy, or they're going to want something done differently, or they're going to want something, you know, cars parked in a different spot or tools put away in a different spot or this cleaned up or that cleaned up, but they're not fucking willing to say to you that that's what they want you to do. In English, they're just not going to say it. They just kind of like, it's almost like when you deal with women, it's like, who knows what they're thinking? Sometimes they don't even know. They can't tell you, and they're not going to tell you because they want you to figure it out. That's just bad communication, baby. I don't care who you're trying to get to do what you want them to do, who you're trying to, I don't know, rule, have under your thumb or lord over. You don't tell them what you want. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's just straight up. If you don't tell them what you want in a language into which they can understand, then don't get mad at them when they don't fucking do it. Poor communication. There's so many cases of poor communication that go on in a repair shop too. I mean, from customers not saying what the fuck is going on to saying the shit's going on that's not going on. And then from advisors not passing the proper information along to you and writing down like a short 5 or 6 word sentence for a concern that's going to take you 2 hours, and then you're going to figure out that they left all kinds of information out. it's god awful. Poor communication. I think it's really honestly one of the number one problems we have. Number one problem. Number seven, over-reliance on employee self-management. Well, there is, I call this a lack of policies and procedures, and that goes along with really poor communication. Sometimes you just expect employees and technicians to do what they should do, and it should be right. You're like, oh, you know, I just always assumed that you would do this way because that's the right way to do it. And then they might be like, no, that's not the right way to do it. So I'm obviously not going to do it that way. If you wanted it done some other way, you probably should have fucking said something instead of just assuming I'm going to do it. Because that's really what it comes down to, is when you let the employees manage themselves and you don't do anything to direct them or to lead them. And that's one of the things that's missing in a lot of places I've worked and I had terrible managers, is there's no leadership. There's no leadership. There's nobody saying, hey, you know, we're going to want you to do this and this is why. Okay. And I'd appreciate it very much if you do it. That's sort of a leadership thing. Instead of coming back later, you know, instead of being proactive, they're reactive. And they go, how come you did that like that? I didn't want it done like that. I go, well, did you fucking tell somebody you didn't want it done like that? No, I didn't think I had to. Yeah, that's right. You didn't think you had to. And the first part of that sentence is what the problem is. You didn't think. You understand what I'm saying to you here? No, as a manager, you are absolutely and honestly supposed to delegate tasks. But I think in a lot of situations, these should be all these tasks that you delegate should be tasks that you yourself could do or should do. And not every day. You don't have to do them every day. But I mean, you should be able to, as a manager in a repair shop, as an owner or a service manager, you should be able to write an RO. You should be able to effectively write an RO. You should be effectively able to take care of a customer, to understand what they're talking about when they come in the door, to assess what their needs are, and then to honestly close a repair order and charge them for whatever work was done, and maybe inspect the cars like you expect the service advisors to do, or maybe to park them like you expect the lot kids to do or the fucking carporters to do. Or maybe you should spend a couple of hours in the parts department figuring out why the fuck they're not doing the job right. Why is it that when those guys come in here to get a part, you guys either A, give them the wrong part, or you give them too many of them, or you give them not enough of them, or you just basically fuck them up and don't even help them at all? Why is that happening? Well, you could certainly go fucking to it. You could go to it and see for yourself what's happening. You let these people manage themselves. They're going to take the path of least resistance, boys and girls. They're not going to self-manage themselves. They're not going to say, gee, would my service manager want me to not piss on the wall instead of in the toilet? No, I don't. Who's going to think like that? You know, if you're in a bad mood and you're pissed off at the place you work, you piss all over the fucking bathroom and let everybody else who has to use it deal with it. And it maybe that's how you get your jollies. Who even knows? But are you going to self-manage yourself and say, oh, maybe I shouldn't piss on the wall, even though I'm pissed off at this place. Maybe I should just do it the way everybody else does and not make a huge mess. You're going to count on technicians to make that decision to self-manage themselves? You're going to have piss on the walls. That's what's going to happen. Number eight is disorganization. Oh, man. I have seen some shops. Like I said, I was in the parts business. I visited a lot of shops to drop off parts. I visited a lot of shops to visit friends who work in shops. I've worked in a lot of shops. I've seen a lot of shops. I have never seen one that's organized at all, ever. There is almost always shit everywhere, all over the floor, new parts, old parts, the boxes that some of the new parts came in, all of the fucking fluids that used to live inside of a car, tires everywhere, fucking greasy, grimy, fucking all kinds of shit on the floor. There's no organization to it. And as a manager, it's not your fault the shop gets like that. It's not your fault. You could certainly do something about it, possibly. You could say to somebody, say, hey, I'm going to pay you an hour to clean this fucking shithole up. This bay of yours is a fucking goddamn pigsty. I'm going to give you 1 hour of fucking labor to fucking correct it. But I'm going to come back here in an hour. And if it's not corrected, I'm not going to give you an hour. So get it done. As far as disorganization for a service manager or a shop owner, even in their office or whatever, it's like being disorganized means that you are constantly having to figure out where shit is, when it's not where it should be. And, oh, by the way, you never figured out where it should be in the first fucking place. Part of being proactive as well. You should have file cabinets. You should have files made up for all of the different vendors that you have so that you can put the receipts they give you into the files that have their proper name on them. That way, if you have to return something 2, 3, 4 months later, you can find the invoice, right? If you're not organized enough to do that as a shop owner, you're probably not going to make it. Be quite honest with you. You have to organize your time. You have to organize your business. You have to organize your employees, and you have to keep it together. You have to keep it together. You have to maintain some guidelines as far as what's got to happen where, and that's part of being organized. You have to delegate tasks. You have to, when you hire people, this is especially important. This is something that goes along with disorganization. When you hire people, you have to have a set of fucking job description. You have to have a set job description that details exactly what you want them to do. Because I've seen it in the past. I've seen it many times. Somebody gets hired to do one job, and then all of a sudden you come along later as the manager or the shop owner, and you say, oh, hey, I need you to do this too. And they're like, yeah, go fuck yourself. I'm not doing that. It's not on my job description. Not on my list of things that I'm supposed to do. I'm not doing that. Then that's just basically disorganization on your fucking part as the shop owner or the manager. Number 9, conflict avoidance. I'm telling you right now, and I think that maybe you can suss this one out. I don't like conflict myself. If I see it on TV, I change the channel. I don't want to see conflict on TV. I got a whole lot of it going on in my life. I don't need it. I'm not going to watch it on TV. I'm certainly not going to call up some fucking scary movie where it's nothing but conflict from beginning to end. And in the end, everybody ends up dead. It's like what kind of a movie is that? Well, it's a horror movie, James. I'm sorry to tell you. And some people love them, but I don't. It's like, I don't want to see conflict on TV or at the movie theater. I'm not going to pay. I don't consider that entertainment. Okay. But in real life, if there's conflict, I will go right to it. I'm not going to stand down, and I will stand up for what needs to be done and what is right. And that's what I'm doing here with the podcast, is standing up for you people, because a lot of you, and I'm not going to chastise you too vehemently for this, but a lot of you are passive aggressive, where you don't want to tell somebody, you know, maybe your boss or maybe your shop owner, you don't want to tell them what's wrong, what's going on. You don't, you know, they come by and go, hey, how's it going? You go, well, you know what? I would love to tell you how it's really going, but I know it's rhetorical, so I'm just going to say everything's fine. And then when they go, what do you mean by that? I go, hey, you know what? You got a whole bunch of shit that's not being done properly. And if it was done properly, it would make the shop run a lot smoother, and it'd make us all a lot more money. You, me, everybody. Avoiding conflict. If you're in management, and I want to just have a little heart-to-heart chat here, okay? If you're a manager of any kind, or if you're even like a shop owner, your job is to go to conflict and alleviate it. If you avoid it, you are a worthless piece of shit. Because I know that in a lot of cases, management, whether you're a service manager or a shop owner, has to deal with the problems with the customers, has to deal with problems with vendors, has to deal with problems with technicians. And if you avoid it, you are going to be straight out of a job or out of business. Whichever it is that comes first. You can't avoid conflict. And if you do avoid it, if you leave early, or you don't stand up and listen to the complaints, or you don't seek to solve people's problems when obviously they've escalated to a point where it is a conflict, then you're fucking completely fucking useless. Number 10 is unavailability. Well, that's a good one too. A lot of times, but this is not really something that happens to me all that often. But if I need to have somebody who has a manager's title, or maybe the shop owner, and I need to get with them for whatever reason, there's many reasons why I might have to have a conversation with the shop owner or a service manager of some type or any kind of manager, and I can't fucking find them, that can be a problem. And if it happens a lot, if it's a consistent feeling that they're never there, and then maybe they're just hiding from their job, well, then they're stealing their fucking paycheck, basically. I don't want to have to make an appointment to have a conversation with my manager or with my shop owner. I don't want to have to do that. They need to be available. They need to come to me, really. I'm available. I'm in my bay fucking wrenching on shit. I might not be in a good mood and I might even be talking to myself or I might be screaming at a fucking socket that fell on the fucking floor. But don't, you gotta come up and you just gotta make yourself available. I'm available. What the fuck? I come in every fucking day. I fucking pull in the fucking dead shit, the broken shit, and I fucking fix it. I fix it if they let me. They'd stop fucking declining all of the repairs and the services I recommend. That would be fucking wonderful. And when they do that, especially if they do that on a car that it is in desperate need of repair, you know, i.e. metal-to-metal brakes and maybe, you know, bald fucking tires. I mean, bald tires with cords hanging out and your service advisor can't sell them because he's a worthless piece of shit. I need to come to you. And if you're not available, then it could conceivably be fatal. You know, guy leaves your place with bald tires and metal brakes, and he's going 90 down the fucking expressway, and suddenly he's got to stop, and he fucking can't, and he hits the old proverbial grease-to-wheels school bus full of teenage cheerleaders. Kills them all. Can't fucking have that, okay? I need for you to step in and maybe offer some sort of incentive for this particular gentleman to get whatever it is he needs done to his vehicle. As a manager should, so that we don't have to bury, you know, 6 to 8 teenage cheerleaders. I just feel like you need to be available for that. Don't be unavailable. Number 11 is lack of delegation. To delegate something to somebody is assuming that you have employees that you can count on, that you can trust, and that you can get them to do what you need them to do. Not doing that. Okay. Now one of two things can happen if you're no good at delegating tasks. Number one, that task never gets fucking done, or you do it yourself, which is highly unlikely as well in some cases. Okay. Cause if you're a terrible manager, you're just like, well, somebody needs to do it and I shouldn't have to tell them to do it. It's like, really? Lack of delegation. If you got a task that you got somebody who can do it better than you can, maybe not as well as you can. I need to delegate it to see if they're up to the task, or I need to delegate it to them to make sure the task gets done right because they've done it before and they do it well. And maybe if this person does a lot of things well, you should consider them as an assistant manager, or maybe get the fuck out yourself and make them the manager. That would be great. Yeah. And you know what? A lack of delegation also goes hand in hand with dealing with some of your vendors. Okay, like if you have a cleaning crew and things get out of hand with them, you need to fucking step up and delegate to them what they're supposed to fucking do, because after all, goddammit, you're paying the fucking bills. You know, if I pay a cleaning company to come in, and we've had several go-rounds with different cleaning companies where I'm working now, one of which was a situation where they decided that they were going to take stuff out of the garbage can and stick it up along the wall, you know, stuff like dead, broken valve covers and oil pans and other parts. And this got out of hand in a hell of a hurry. We had a huge fucking pile of garbage at the side of our shop. I mean, huge. It was fucking about 5 feet high and about 20 feet around. And all it was a pile of shit that the cleaning company pulled out of the garbage cans because they weren't sure if it was stuff we wanted or not. And no one was able to tell them. No one stepped up. There was a lack of delegation for this particular task for somebody to step up and say, hey, that stuff there, that's really shit garbage that needs to go the fuck out. Don't stack it up over there and expect it to just fucking disappear by itself. It's not going to. Okay. It's garbage. You need to get rid of it. Stop fucking taking it out of the garbage can. Take it and put it in a fucking dumpster. This literally happened to us. Nobody stepped up and said that. Eventually somebody did, but it took weeks. It took many weeks for this to happen. And then what we have going on now is, for some reason, and I don't understand this at all, this is just wrong, but the cleaning company that we have now, they come into our shop with a leaf blower, and they're supposed to blow the dirt and the solid objects from our bays into the center of the shop and sweep it up. Yeah, but you know what? That's not what they're doing. They're blowing it under our toolboxes and calling it done. Because every time I pull my tool, I look under my toolbox, I see all kinds of shit underneath it. And I got to stick a broom in there and get it out of there. Because I can't deal with that shit. I got to have a neat and clean area to work in. Can't work in a fucking work area that's all fucking full of shit. Can't do it. And nobody's going to tell these people that they don't fucking, that they should not do that. Nobody's going to fucking say to them, say, listen, if you don't stop it with the fucking leaf blowers and blowing the dirt under the toolboxes, I'm going to find another fucking cleaning company that'll do it. But nobody is going to do that. There's no delegation of that task to communicate with these people to tell them that what they're doing is fucking wrong. Okay. Number 12 is favoritism. Oh my God. Is there a lot of that shit going on in your shop? Holy fuck. I'm sure it is. Because there's always people that if you have a manager of some kind, there's always going to be people that they're going to look to tell them what they want to hear and to tell them the things that are going on so that they don't have to find out for themselves. And maybe it's right, and maybe it's wrong, and maybe it's not good even. I think I got some of that going on, okay? But if you play favorites, then guess what you're not going to be? You're not going to be a favorite. You're going to be one of these fucking people who has a teacher's pat and the guy can do no wrong, or it could be even a girl. They can't do anything wrong and then everybody else resents them. And you're just creating a rift in the shop. You don't want to do that. Favoritism is definitely fucking NG. Number 13 is credit stealing. I've talked about this before, where I had a manager years ago who I would say something to him to the effect of, oh, you know, this is something that we should do. We'll definitely make our jobs a lot easier. And then every time, 100% of the time, he would dismiss any idea or any kind of suggestion I made to him as being stupid or not good or it's something that we couldn't do. And he'd roll his eyes and he'd basically non-verbally tell me, fuck off, you know? And then later, a week, maybe two, maybe even 3 weeks later, he would do whatever it was I said we should do. And then it was always his own idea that he came up with. And you know what? I'm not the kind of dick. I don't have this kind of ego where I got to go and get credit for everything that I say or do. It's just not the way I am. And so this guy thought he came up with these ideas all on his own and he implemented them and they worked the way I thought they would. And I was fine with it. I was like, I'm not going to jump up and down and say, oh, he stole that idea from me. And oh, he doesn't have any original ideas. But you want to know something? I don't think there's a lot of people that have that kind of ego like I do, where if somebody did something and took credit for coming up with an idea that they actually came up with, most people, I'd say probably 97% of the people on this planet would be like, hey, you fucking asshole. That was my idea, you fucking cocksucker. You know, I mean, they might not use the same terminology, you know, they might use some other slang and obscene word to describe the person who stole their credit. But, you know, for a lot of people, it's important for them to feel like they're important, that their opinions matter. And that if they come up with some kind of an idea or some kind of way to save money or time or both, then they would like to get the credit for coming up with that. They would just like for somebody to say, hey, thanks for that suggestion. It worked out really, really well. But I'd say a lot of times it never happens that way. You know, you come up with some sort of plan to make something better and somebody, you know, puts that plan in place and it works the way you said it would. They're not going to admit for one fucking second that was your idea. And they might not even steal the credit. They might just not give you any. I've had it happen a lot of times with repairs to a car. I remember many, many years ago, I had a gentleman I worked with who had done a timing chain and gear. And I think he even put a camshaft in his Monte SS. And it ran really poorly after that. And I said to him straight out, I said, well, you know, the timing chain sets that we sell have three slots on them. You can have it so that it's straight up timed or that it's 2 degrees advanced or 2 degrees retarded. And if you go one way or the other, it may run really bad. And he just looked at me and he goes, oh, that's not it. That's definitely not it. That's definitely not it, right? And so it was about a week later, he had taken it all apart and realized that he did actually have it on, I think he had it advanced too much. I don't remember which way it went. It was either advanced or retarded. It doesn't matter. But he had it on the wrong slot. And when he put it on the right slot, it ran great. And then he came in. He goes, I finally figured out what it was. It was that it was in the wrong slot. He didn't mention anything of the fact that I had said that before. And like I said, I don't have that kind of ego. So I didn't go up to him and go, hey, that's what I said to do, dumbass. I didn't do that shit. He was a really nice guy and he didn't deserve to be insulted like that. So it wasn't necessary for me to point out to him that I said that to him. I let him go ahead and take the credit for fixing his own fuck up. Credit stealing is a big deal to most people though. So just so you know, if somebody has an idea and you kind of glom onto it and make it your own, you're going to get a hell of a lot of pushback from that. Okay. You're always going to do that. Number 14 is insults. Absolutely. If you have people that are in charge of what you do and how you do it, and they insult you, I say that you A, should insult them back. I don't condone violence, but you know what? If somebody insults you so viciously to the point where you want to commit violence on them, I say, you know what? Fuck them. Go for it. Really. I mean, you know, if somebody says, hey, you know, your mom did this to, you know, whatever. If somebody says something really awful to you, trying to just be an asshole, slap the shit out of them. Fuck it. You know, insults are not, you know, I mean, I want to back off on this because it's almost like a two-part thing here, okay? If insults are meant to be evil and mean and vicious and hurt you, then yeah, you know, you need to fight back on that, you know? And if you need to get violent, well, that's going to have to be your decision, okay? But a lot of times in the shop, and I wanted to just kind of go off on a little diatribe on this, a lot of times the insults that we trade back and forth are just meant to be humorous. Now, to a lay person, I think in a lot of situations, not just automotive repair shops. I think in a lot of shops, in a lot of places of employment, in a lot of places on the planet, people get really rude and obnoxious with each other. I mean, extraordinarily. I've heard of actors being on set and just coming up with some of the most obnoxious and obscene jokes ever to keep themselves entertained while they're trying to work their craft, you know? And we're doing the same thing in the shop. I mean, we are some of the fucking shit that we come up with, boys and girls. You know what I'm talking about. If you're a technician, if you've been working in the field, even for a year or so, you know that some of the things you heard are some of the most vile and obscene and obnoxious things you've ever fucking heard. And literally 100% of it is just absolutely hilarious. It's just for humor. That's all. You know, a lot of times people are not, you know, they might say something about your mom, but they don't, it's not like they know them, right? It's just kind of a joke. But if it's not meant as a joke, if it's a real insult that is meant to hurt you, and then it's not good. And if your boss does it, if your owner or your service manager or somebody like that does it, if you have management people in a leadership position, people in a management position who come in and berate you in it with an evil intent, that's definitely not good. So don't put up with that. But, you know, learn how to take an insult, really. I mean, we had, you know, and I don't even know if I should speak of this, but we had somebody who complained about the vile language in our shop and maybe the racist comments or whatever. It's not meant to be vile or vicious on purpose or to hurt anybody's feelings. So, and you know what? I got to say, it goes true for the podcast as well. Okay. If you're hearing things on this podcast that you don't want to hear or that you don't like to hear, if you don't like it when Uncle Jimmy says fuck or shit or calls somebody a cocksucker, I apologize. But this is the way we fucking talk in the shop. And there's never been a shop I've ever worked at where they didn't talk like this, where they didn't go at each other, you know, where they didn't poke fun at each other, where they didn't laugh at each other or try to put the other guy down, make fun of him, or it's just one of the ways that human beings get along. It's just one of the ways we get along, you know. I mean, somebody might do something dopey across the shop or in the bay next to you, and you just say, nice shot, asshole. You know, I mean, you don't mean that you think the guy's an asshole. You're just like, you're just like, oh, that's great, dick. you know, and it's terrible. I just want to go on a little bit more, if you don't mind, because we have a real problem with this in today's society, is that everyone is so woke. Everyone is so in tune with everyone's feelings. It's like, you know what? Seriously, I'm going to tell you right now, fuck them. Fuck them all, okay? Because what a word is, okay? Now think about this for a second here. What are words? And people say, oh, words hurt. No, they shouldn't fucking hurt. And I'll tell you why. They should not hurt. Number one, you call somebody who doesn't speak English, you call them a cocksucker or a motherfucker or anything bad like that, they're not going to understand what you're saying. So do they get upset? No. You know why? Because they didn't understand it. What you have to understand is that when people speak, the words that come out of their mouth is just a vibration in the air that comes out of their lungs as it passes over their lips, their teeth, their tongue, and their nose. What those vibrations mean after your ears pick them up, that is entirely 100% up to you. It's entirely up to you 100% to interpret what is said. And no one on the planet has has any control over what you think or how you feel about what you're fucking hearing. No one. Only you. And you are going to have to be the one who decides whether or not you're offended or whether you feel bad or somebody should be canceled because of something they said, because of how you interpreted it. I say, fuck you, okay? Grow a backbone, grow a spine, and fucking get used to it, especially if you're going to work in a fucking repair shop. We need to get back. I'll agree with this part of that, though. We need to treat each other with respect and with manners. And I like to say that I do. I give everybody the same level of respect when I first meet them. It's up to them whether they earn more or lose more. If you do things that cause me to have less respect for you, well, then eventually we'll get to a point where I don't have any respect for you. But if you behave correctly and you're friendly and you help people out and you're doing the right thing and you're doing the job and, you know, the things are going, you know, when things are bad, you make them good. And when things are good, you make them better even. Then, yeah, I'm going to have more respect for you. Earn it. You have to fucking earn it. That's the problem. And if you don't earn it, you're not going to get it. And that's what it comes down to is. And the things you say, honestly, if a lot of people object to them, and they may, then they're not going to have respect for you. So, you know, even though you should be able to say exactly what you want, a la the First Amendment, you need to temper that with common sense, really. You have to temper what you say with a modicum of class and dignity and respect for the people who might hear it. Okay, that's what I meant to say. And if you do that, at times you can get away with saying something that might be evil or considered racist and then just go, that's not really how I feel about that. So insults, not the worst thing in the world, not the best thing in the world. If your boss has insults for you about the way you do your job or how he doesn't like this, that, or the other thing about you, if he's being serious, beat his ass. 15, number 15 is blame. Holy cow, blame. Yeah, that's always been, you know what, I got to tell you, I come up with this all on my own at one point in time. My whole life, and I really mean this literally from the moment of my conception, I have been blamed for all kinds of shit. So it doesn't bother me. If somebody wants to blame me for stuff, that's fine. In fact, I always say that, you know, when I was born a few months later, we had the Cuban Missile Crisis, all my fault. Vietnam, all my fault. Kennedy being killed, that was my fault too. The the Columbia crashing, that was my fault. 9/11, that was my fault. The Iranian hostage situation, all that shit, all the shit that's gone wrong since I was born, all my fucking fault. It's all my fault. Blame me all you want. If you got problems out there, and I mean this literally, I'm not even making this up. If you got problems out there in your life, blame me. Go ahead and blame me. I stand tall. I got broad shoulders. I can handle it. You want to blame me for shit? Listen, my brothers and my sister, they fucking did all kinds of destructive shit, bad shit around the fucking house when we were kids. I always, 100% of the time, got blamed for all of it. All of it. I've talked about it before. It's not bullshit. I've been getting blamed for shit my whole fucking life. And a lot of times I get blamed for shit I didn't do. I just fucking shake my head. Oh, whatever you're going to do. Whatever. Maybe my reign of terror will come to an end when I pass away. But for now, blame me. Go ahead. But as far as, and to get away from that, the podcast isn't about you, Uncle Jimmy, you asshole. As far as blame goes, if you have management or an owner and they feel like they need to figure out who's to blame for everything that goes wrong, passing around, you know, as a manager, as a shop owner, passing around blame and accountability for stuff that isn't going the way it's supposed to, that's counterproductive. It's counterproductive. You know, if you got something and you need to blame somebody, well, that kind of shows, I think, honestly, a lack of character. It's like, look, blaming somebody for something or figuring out who's to blame for something and wasting time doing that takes away from solving the problem or correcting the concern. Okay. Blame. Yeah, fine. You know, like I said, blame your Uncle Jimmy. Now let's move forward and get whatever it is corrected. Let's make it right again. Okay. If you have management that just likes to make a list of everything you did wrong and blame you for everything that they can't figure out who else was to blame for it, might need to look for another job. Seriously. If you have people that do that a lot, certainly, certainly if things are not getting done, certainly if things are getting done wrong and somebody needs to find somebody to blame for that, that's a fucking sign that you should be looking for the exit. Number 16 is, oh no, excessive anger. Hey, I've never really had this, I'm going to be honest with you, I've had excessive anger. I can't say that. I haven't had excessive anger. I get fucking, sometimes I get mad and I get tunnel vision. I get so mad, but I have to stop. I have to stop and I have to let that pass before I can even pick up a tool. And fortunately for me, it does not happen that often. I mean, just, you know, every once in a while you have a day where nothing's going right and you're trying to get something done and everything is fighting you and everything feels like it's left-hand threaded. And yeah, I'll get angry. I'll get real angry. I'll see red. I'll get tunnel vision. But then what I do in those situations typically is I sit down and just take a deep breath, maybe get something to drink, maybe go to the bathroom, maybe go get a hamburger or something. I'll make it go away. Now, if you have a boss who has excessive anger and is angry a lot and seems to be taking that out on you, you need to just let them know. It can't be passive aggressive in these situations. If the anger is affecting your life and how you make your living and how much money he makes, then you're going to go at the problem. You're going to have to confront the anger. You're going to say, listen, you can get as mad as you want. This is not my fault. Or if it is your fault or whatever. I mean, there's a whole lot of reasons why somebody might get angry. And I would say that about 95% of the time, that anger is not productive. It's counterproductive. It doesn't help you deal with the situation. I know that. I get angry anyway, but I mean, I got it. You know, it's a basic human emotion. You can't really deny it completely, I don't think. And so, you know, you got somebody like me who's usually in a good mood 95% of the time and everything's going well and friendly and funny even sometimes. But there's 5% of the time where things are not going right and I'm fucking pissed off. Fortunately for me, I get over it. If your boss, your service manager, your owner, they don't get over it, they go on and on about it and they just make a big, huge fucking deal out of it. Well, that's not somebody that you should be working for, to be honest with you. You should get the fuck away from them. Employees are there to help you make money. Yeah, it doesn't always work out 100% every fucking time. Things happen, especially now. I would think that it could be a bigger problem now that the average age of the cars on the road, 12 and a half years. Man, you're going to have a lot of situations where a manager or a shop owner is going to be upset because you went to change something and because everything on the fucking car is a fucking teenager now, shit broke and you might not even have touched it. You might have moved a hose and it just came apart. You might have had to put a wire tie back in place and all of a sudden what you tried to attach it to broke off. It's like it's so many things can go wrong. Especially now when they use plastics that don't seem to like heat. They become brittle. You know, and you go to disconnect something and it just shatters in your fucking hands. It's like, if your boss is going to get upset with you about that, especially if the car's got some serious age on it. I say update the resume, boys and girls, update the resume. Hey, you should really, you know, if you don't have a resume or if you have one, but it's old, is get it out, dust it off, tune it up, put your new stuff on there and get it ready. Having a bad boss or a bad manager, that's not something that you have to live with. If they're angry or if they do any of the things on this list, really, you know, if they insult you, they blame shit on you that isn't your fault, they steal the credit from when you do something, they favor other people over you, they can't do their job right, then they blame you. It's like, man, get ready for that shit. You know, go home on lunch, look up Indeed, find some shops near you or maybe some shops that aren't near you. Send them a resume. You'd be surprised what happens. There's a very, here it comes. This is the grease the wheels mantra, okay? There's an excessive, massive, huge apocalyptic shortage of technicians out there. And it's basically a bidding war. The cost, the wages are going up because they have to. It's a simple law. It's called the laws of supply and demand. We've talked about it a million fucking times. The supply is low and the demand is high. The price has got to go up. And if it doesn't go up, you're going to be stuck with a huge demand and no supply. It's pretty simple. Let's get away from anger, though, because Lots of people think I'm overqualified to talk about being angry. Hey, I got to tell you, I got some shit that makes me angry, and sometimes I just explode. But I'm also not a manager. I'm not a boss. I certainly wouldn't do that if I was somebody's boss. I might say to him, say, listen, this is not a good situation, and it's got me kind of worked up, okay? I need for you to tell me that this is not going to happen again. Because if it happens again and I get worked up again, I may explode. I mean, literally. Yeah. Anger, you know, that's the thing too. Anger, like I said, anger is a human emotion. You should definitely not squelch it completely out, but take small bites. Take small bites of it. Be happy and fun and friendly and work hard and 95% of the time. And then if something makes you angry, go ahead and get angry, but get the fuck over it. Jesus. I mean, I'd like to show you how to do it because I do it fairly effectively, believe it or don't. Sometimes I get over it by fucking doing a podcast. Number 17, poor listening habits. Oh, that's it. See, this is the thing. I think that, you know, this is just my opinion, okay? Because I like I said, I'm broad stroking this. And most of this is my commentary on what they've said here. I'm not really reading what they wrote. For me, I think that listening is very important, okay? Because it shows a level of respect for the person who's talking. Now we have, and I'll tell you, this is just the God's honest truth. And I know a lot of you out there. Okay. I know a lot of you. You complain like little fucking girls. I mean, you just whine. I don't like this. I don't like that. I think that if you're in management, if you're a shop owner, you should just listen to it. Because even if you listen to it, first off, it's a sign of respect for your employee. I mean, they're just going to be like, holy shit, I've got his attention. He's listening. He's not talking. He's not trying to tell me that I need to get back to work or that I'm a piece of shit. He's not saying anything. He's just listening. And then what you say, you have to kind of formulate a response, you know, because sometimes when people are complaining and you're listening, you might hear something that would help you out in the future. Believe it or don't. If somebody says, oh, you know, we need a drinking fountain in the shop. We don't have one. No, we don't have one. We don't have any way to get clean water to drink in the shop. Well, let me look into that. I mean, that doesn't sound good at all. I'd like to kind of rectify that if I can. Holy cow. You know what? You said you're going to look into it. That's all. You didn't even fucking do anything. You just said you were going to look into it. So what has happened automatically is that this guy goes, oh, he listened to me. Now let's see what happens. Maybe you call somebody and say, how much to install one of those things that goes in the side of a refrigerator that gives you, you know, cold water, or, you know, maybe you get a Brita filter, or maybe you just do something simple like that. But you have to listen. You have to actually actively listen. I've seen people, this has happened all my life. I've seen it. I know what it looks like. And the best actors in the world could come down here and pretend they're listening to me while I was talking, and I could tell that they actually weren't listening, no matter how good of an actor they think they are. And everybody on the fucking planet has the same power. They can tell when you're not listening. And that's a very big sign of disrespect. And that's not good. Because if you listen to your employees, even if you don't help them out, even if you just say, listen, I probably can't do anything about that, but I'll look into it. Even that, you've promised them nothing, and you said that they're probably going to get nothing, but you responded to their complaints. It's important. Poor listening habits, I think, sink a boss or an owner every time. Because and I think a lot of times when they don't listen to you, it's honestly because of ego. They just feel like there's no fucking way that this greasy fucking bastard in the back, who I pay too much money to, who's complaining about not making enough money all the fucking time, could ever have anything to say that I should spend 10 fucking seconds listening to. But I believe, honestly, that you're wrong. Because if you have mechanics who work for you and they're any good at all at what they do, guess what they do? They fix problems. They solve problems. If they're complaining about something, they probably came up with a solution for it. And if you just listen, you might hear it. But if you're not listening, or if you just tune them out, you're behind. You're behind the eight ball. You've alienated that technician. He probably may stop complaining to you. He's going to fucking get another job and find somebody else to complain to about the same shit in a different place, maybe. Who even knows, right? Number 18, I'm moving on here. Tunnel vision. I'm not sure what that is. I get that every once in a while, but some people are focused on doing like one thing really well and leave certain other tasks and certain other things that should be done or taken care of. Just leave them alone. Just don't even bother with them. One of the things that happens, I find, is that a manager will not assist or provide leadership for or chastise or even expect for the service advisors to do their job or to get better at their job or to do their job properly at all. I just don't feel like there's any guidance there whatsoever. Then I've said this many times about where I work. It feels like there's just total anarchy going up there. They all do exactly what they want to do, and nobody's going to say shit to them. And it's like the manager has tunnel vision. He doesn't see what's going on there. And it's too bad because he could increase sales greatly by getting these guys to just ask the customers for the sale. I've talked about that up and down, back and forth, sideways, upside down, till I was purple in the face. That's one of the things that happens. Tunnel vision just means you're gonna focus on like a couple of things and all the other things are just going to fall by the wayside. That's a very good way for a manager to be let go, I think, really. I think that may be what happened to me when I was managing this one part store. I tried to get everything done and I had to kind of deprioritize certain things. And when they came in, they said, well, we need you to prioritize everything. But, and you don't seem to be able to do it. I go, well, I don't have any employees. So, you know, that's kind of part of the fucking problem. But having tunnel vision, not seeing all the things that you should, that you're in charge of, or all the things that you should be delegating, or all the things that maybe you should be doing yourself and not doing them and leaving them undone, it could lead to your unemployment, really. You know, there's a lot of different things that you have to do, and a lot of things that have to be taken care of. And in some cases, if you ignore some of them, read, i.e. taxes, guess what? You might end up with the cuffs on. Who knows? Number 19, moving on here, there's manipulation. I'm laughing because I don't see any of you people out there that are mechanics getting manipulated too much. I don't see that. I think that you'd see right through that if somebody's trying to manipulate you. And I mean, I'm sure there's some people out there that are being manipulated. I have seen it. I've seen some people who were just given so many different tasks to do all day, here and there, and running around and doing this and doing that. They were easily very manipulated. They were just run ragged, you know. But that's I think that's a very rare thing for technicians, because most technicians have their eyes on the prize, and almost all the time, if they're fortunate enough to have the prize available, they have their eyes on it. Otherwise, flat rate technician, you know, if you try to manipulate them, they're just going to be like, fuck that, I don't get paid for that. So that's not something that's really going to happen. But it certainly can happen to some of the other people that work in your facility. You know, your owner could have somebody who they're paying a very, very low wage to, and they're supposed to do one job. And maybe there's a whole bunch of other jobs that aren't part of their job description. And they've kind of talked them into doing it anyway. And that's manipulation. And it's not a good thing. And what's going to end up happening, and a lot of times what's going to end up happening, is when you manipulate people, they'll figure it out after a while. They'll come looking for a raise of some sort. You might be like, well, you know, you were doing it for free for so long. Why would I pay you to do it? You know, why would I pay more to have you do something you're doing for nothing? I feel like as technicians where I work, we're manipulated because we're not paid for the videos that we do. And I've railed against that quite a bit. And nobody's paying any attention. So, you know, obviously I don't have a lot of respect for the way I think and feel. And the rest of my cohorts and the rest of my associates feel the same way. It's like, look, we're not asking for much. And when we do the videos, they're fairly effective at selling stuff, which, by the way, sometimes the service advisors, they're not. Manipulation, I don't see it as a big problem, but there are points that where you as a technician and you as somebody who works in a dealership or a shop can be manipulated, or at least you leave yourself open to being manipulated. And really, if you don't recognize it, then, and somebody points it out to you, well, then you need to go back on what you're being manipulated to do and get yourself some compensation for things that are being done and not paid for you. What it says here is how to fix that problem is be mindful of the staff's reaction and signs of resistance. Yeah, that's what's going to happen. You know, you start trying to manipulate somebody, get them to do something for you for nothing. Yeah, if it happens a lot, after a while, it's going to be like, yeah, go fuck yourself. Number 20 is unquestionable authority. Well, again, I know a lot of you out there, and some of you are very, very vocal. So if somebody tries to come along and just rule you like a dictator, you're going to be like, yeah, see this foot? It's going to disappear up your ass. Just not gonna go for that. Some technicians are pushovers, and they will fall in line, and You know, they will, the service manager or the owner says shit and they say, how high, what color, you know? Most of us, however, I don't think we suffer from that at all. 21 is unprofessional behavior. Well, I got to be honest with you, I don't see that all that much. I just don't. I mean, the most unprofessional behavior I ever see in a shop is usually from the technicians. I mean, like I said before, we're talking all kinds of evil shit all the time. Maybe we mean it humorously. Maybe we don't. Who knows? That's unprofessional. As far as management or shop owners go, typically I have in the past found that they put on a somewhat professional sort of a demeanor. Most of the time, I've had a few service managers who didn't come across very well. And obviously some of them were absolutely even completely incompetent. A few guys come to mind, but they always behaved with a sort of modicum of professional. They were professionals about what they were supposed to do. They were playing the role, I guess you would say. They weren't very effective, but they were at least looked the part. Okay. And they didn't behave in a manner that was, you know, I've heard of service managers and shop owners behaving horribly and in an unprofessional manner, but I personally have not seen it. Number 22 is, they call it no team building. Well, that's a fun set of terminology there. When you work with people, you get to know them pretty well, I would like to say. And I have a lot of people that I know very well that I used to work with and are very friendly towards and like them a great deal. And some of them I even think of as family. And so those people are kind of important to me. But as far as an engagement from their point of view, I don't get a lot of that. So when they do kind of put together something that you would call team building, it's pretty well appreciated by the people that work there, because they don't feel like, and I mean this sincerely, they don't feel like they're just an employee. They feel like they're part of a greater thing, you know. They feel like they're important, you know. And if you don't offer to do anything like that, it means you're just basically slaves that get paid. And if they're not doing the job, you're just going to come out and, you know, fuck any kind of team building, any kind of thing. You're just going to come out with a cat of nine tails and start whipping their ass. Like, get back to work, you fuck, you know? No, feeling like you belong and doing things outside of work, you don't have to do a lot of it. You don't even, obviously, if you're not going to team build, you don't have to do any of it. But it's not ever going to be a bad thing for you. It's going to help people that work together learn to like those people better. Possibly. I know we had, where I work now, we had a softball team for a little while. We were god awful. Holy fuck. We were absolutely terrible. We were terrible. The only game we ever won was because the other team forfeited. We usually got shut out and mercy ruled by the second inning. And it was really bad, but we kind of came together as a group of people. The one thing that was going on, though, was that the shop was run pretty badly at the time. And so over the course of about 8 months of playing softball, we lost a lot of players. And they were fine with playing softball, but when they got to work, it was like, I've had enough of this shit. And they quit. We had, for a long time, we had a very revolving door of technicians. It was really ridiculous, out of hand. And nobody was making any effort to figure out why or to try to figure out how to stop it. They're just like, whatever, you know? And even the team building didn't help. It made it a little more palatable to be there with these people, but for the most part, it didn't help with the whole leaving in droves kind of thing that we had going on. Number 23 is appearance obsessed. I think what they're talking about here is that, wearing a uniform, you know, looking good. And I don't know, and here's the thing. I think a lot of you guys know this. Come to work, I get fucking dirty as shit. I mean, I get filthy. I mean, I have to wash my arms before I get in it, because it seems like anytime I get balls deep in a car and I get grease all over my arms, it's going to be a car that has a tan or even a white interior. It's like, I can't even look in there. I got to wash everything and scrub all the dirt off. And even then, I'm probably going to get some dirt on the inside of their car. But you try honestly not to. Being obsessed with appearance, I don't feel like that's a huge deal in our particular situation, because usually by the end of the day, if we've been working and we've turned a lot of hours, made a lot of money, we're going to look like we broke our ass. We're going to look like coal miners. we're going to look like we've been digging around in the dirt. And we may have. I mean, fuck, you know, doing tires, it gets you dirty. Doing brakes, it gets you dirty. Doing oil change gets oil all over you. I mean, it's literally, there's almost nothing you can do to a car that's going to keep you clean. I mean, possibly interior work, upholstery work, that kind of thing. You don't do a lot of that. It is clean work. It sucks sometimes. Sometimes it sucks massively. But so we end up, we come in, we might look like a GQ model at the beginning of the day. And then we come back looking like, look like we fell into a pile of shit. You know, we just cover with garbage and grease and it just look awful. Definitely not GQ. And having somebody who's obsessed with having the technicians look a certain way, that would definitely not be good. You don't want that. They need to understand that it's a physical job. It involves a lot of dirty shit. Number 24, we're almost done here. I apologize. This is really going super long. But hey, what can I tell you? 24, date or hit on staff. Well, you know, I kind of want to skirt around that because I don't do that. But only because I'm really ugly and it wouldn't work for me anyway. Dating or hitting on the staff if you're a manager, it's really, really frowned upon in business. But here's the other side of that coin, okay? And it says right, this is even what it says here. It says, love does not always follow the rules. I would dare say that probably 50% of the people out there who have dated and married their spouse, be they man or woman, woman or woman, man or man, whatever they have going on. I think a great many of these people have met at work. A great many. It's just one of those things where you're there every day and you find out how somebody is and maybe you grow to like how they look or how they behave. Maybe they like you too. And then it blossoms from there. And I wouldn't say to you that certain people shouldn't do that. It's definitely frowned upon. But as far as managers go, I would think that they would have to be very careful about it. Okay. Because there are situations where if a human resources department finds out that you're dating an employee who is your direct subordinate, it could be curtains for either you or the subordinate or both of you. And I'm sure as I'm sitting here right now that it's happened many times where a manager started dating somebody that worked for them, and it was certainly fine with them, but it wasn't fine with an HR department. And so they sent them on their way, and they ended up working somewhere else, and maybe they were fucking happier, or maybe they broke up. Or maybe a manager or even the subordinate stayed working there if the other person was fired, quit, or transferred. It's all kinds of different things that happen to accommodate this. So saying that they shouldn't date or hit on the staff, well, it's going to happen. Going to happen. And I don't, you know, I mean, as much as I would like to say that managers should definitely not do it and that they're pieces of shit if they do it, it's not really how it is. You know, they're human, they're people. And like it says here, love does not always follow the rules. It can happen for them. Now, if you work, and honestly, this is something we don't have this happening a lot to us as technicians, okay? Because we're usually, like I was talking about just a few seconds ago here, we're usually dirty and filthy. And what I have found is that women pretty much, they're not attracted to men who are dirty and filthy. At least not this one anyway. And so it might be a situation where you might like somebody you work with. They might be a service advisor or a carporter and, you know, their hair falls down upon their shoulders just right. And when the sun hits their eyes, they sparkle. And you're just like, wow, I really like that girl. And then the manager comes along and he's dating her. And you're like, yeah, motherfucker. Dating or hitting on the staff. I would give the boss, I would give management a pass on that only because there's other people who would be upset or at least concerned about something like that. I don't feel like as a technician that it's a huge fucking problem for me. And by the way, I don't care what the bosses do. There's been some rumors about some shenanigans that have gone on like that where I work. Like I said, with the gossip, I don't buy into that. I don't need to hear that. It's none of my business. And I'm glad there's some things that they don't tell me. And there's some stuff that they do tell me that I wish they fucking wouldn't. So we're going to move on from there. This is the last one here on this one. It's called quiet firing. This is number 25. This was the last thing here. And this I'm going to read this because I'm not sure what this is. It says quiet firing is when a manager disengages from an employee's happiness and growth in the workplace. In other words, he's pretty much written that guy off or that person off, and they're dead to him, basically, is what, you know, like they call up and they go, you're dead to me, and they hang up on you. Yeah, that can happen too. And I think that's something that I've dealt with. I think a lot of times I have worked for managers who couldn't give a flying fuck if I lived or died. And so they were just like, whatever happens to that guy, happens to him. And I don't care. I don't care. And it's bad because, and I'll tell you, and I say this all the time as if it matters. And I think it does, but I come to work and I give my employers 110%. I really do. And I always have. And I think it basically goes back to the fact that it's a deep rooted thing that my family has done to me, as far as, you know, I'm being what I feel like they think is a worthless human being, and they blame me for everything. And it's just not true. I am a very useful human being who works hard and tries to do the right thing all the time. And oh, by the way, I fix things a lot, which is a lot different than what my father used to think I was. I think if my old man was still around and he knew that I worked, that I did what I do and that I'm fairly good at it, he would probably pass out, because I'm sure that in his mind, he's sure that I'm just a destructive piece of shit like I was when I was a kid, and that I was never going to grow out of it. He wouldn't recognize the person that I have become. And it's important for me to continue to be that person. So if somebody decides they don't want me around and they're just going to like basically gaslight me, I'm fine with it. You know, I'm fine with it. I just do what I do, and how you feel about it, I don't give a fuck. As long as I'm doing as long as I'm useful, and as long as I do what I do, and I fix people's shit and I keep them moving like you guys do. And that's why I feel like it's important, because I think a lot of you out there are like me. And you were not thought that you were going to work out in any way, shape, or form, that you might even just end up in prison as a criminal, you know. But you became a mechanic, and yeah, you were out there, you were loud and obnoxious, and you did what you wanted to do, and you were full of righteous indignation, and you know, you drank beer on the weekends, and you shot your guns, and you went four-wheeling and stuff. But then you settled down, you became a mechanic, and guess what? You still did all those other things, and you became a very productive member of society. In fact, you became an extraordinarily productive member of society, and society treated you like shit. And you know what? A lot of you, like myself, are fucking fine with that. And if people who don't know how to do what you do and try to manage you don't appreciate it, then fuck them. It's their loss. Fuck them. Their loss. They don't understand what you bring to the table. You can fucking fix the table. You could build the table. They don't understand. They're sitting there going, why is the table broken? And you come along and fix it. And they're like, oh, okay, sure. All right. Hey, this particular podcast went on to say, or excuse me, this is a podcast, but this article went on to say, inexperience causes many young supervisors to exhibit weak manager skills. Okay, that's great. And I would say that's true. If you're new at it, then you have to kind of work out how you're going to deal with some of these things that we just talked about. But if you've been around a while and you're still doing some of these things, and maybe you're just doing them because you're, I don't know, an egomaniac, or maybe you just have like a little man syndrome, or whatever it is that causes you to behave in an improper manner and treat the people that work for you terribly, well, then maybe you just need to have a good ass kicking. Maybe you should just kick your own ass. Maybe you should just pull your head out of your ass, whatever it is. You know, if you feel like the people you work for, and I said this a dozen times, maybe even two dozen times during the course of this podcast, if you work for people who don't treat you like a human being, don't treat you with a modicum of respect, who don't treat you like you're important, who don't treat you like you're making the money, who don't treat you like you're smart, who don't treat you like you're a person and that you're important and that you need to exist and that you need to earn money, then two things could happen. Either you need to have a chat with your shop owner or your manager, your service manager or whatever, and maybe straighten them out. But I don't see that happening. Or you need to go. Like I said, there's a shortage. You could work anywhere if you know what you're up to. All right. All right. That's enough. Your Uncle Jimmy has really honestly rambled on for hours here, and he's going to get off right now and just go see you.